Praise the Lord. One of my most favorite times of the year is the Christmas season. And the reason why is because of that song. Because I see myself. I see myself as that little boy. And I'm beating my drum. And I'm playing my best. And I beat it for him as hard as I can. And even when I don't feel like it, I don't feel like beating my drum, I beat it. I beat my drum to be the best son I can for my mother, to be the best husband I can for my wife, and the best father I can for my two little girls that are upstairs, and the best servant I can be as I help my pastor here serve all of you. And it's a great honor. I beat that drum so hard sometimes, and I feel like I'm not worthy to beat that drum. But I know better. I know better. When I'm down in my worst because I failed in sin, I know better. I can still beat my drum because my Father's not looking at my sin. He's looking at this life that I have given Him. From my heart, I play my drum for Him. From my heart, I play my best. Even when I don't think my best is good enough, it's good enough. When the devil lies to me and tells me because I fail and I'm not good enough, I still beat. I'm good enough. This word today is not, it's not about me, y'all. Please understand, it's not about me. I want to show you a picture of what God has done, and I don't know what all is entailed this morning of what you're going to hear, because I can prepare forever, but when I get here, He has the word. It's not me. This demonstration that I showed right here, I pack that bag all the time, and when I get ready to beat my drum, I want to know, what do you want to hear, my king? What do you want to hear today? Show me what you want from me today. And I get in to studying and reading and learning about Him and about His purpose for my life. And I found my purpose. I found my purpose. You know, about 4 years ago, I was going through a hard, hard time. Things had changed for me. My plans that I made were turned upside down. And I didn't really know how to handle that. Most of you that really know me know that. And when He flipped me upside down, I was hurting. You know, at that time, I was 43, and in my profession, I got thrust into a certain job that, man, it was rough on me. I wasn't used to being that physical at work. I'm always physical at home, but the things that were going on the job, you know, day in and day out, things changed, and I found myself 4 years ago in August, I found myself sitting on a platform offshore, sitting under the what's called the heliport, waiting on a helicopter to come pick me up, and I just started crying. I was broke down. It was hot. I couldn't even hardly breathe. It was so stifling. The heat was horrible. And I'm sitting there waiting on a helicopter to come pick me up, and it's just me and God. I'd been, you know, I come from a place of, you know, another place of position with an office, and all of a sudden I got put back out here, and I was just tired. And so I told God, I said, God, I don't know why. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you right now, it don't matter. Whatever you got for me to do, I'm going to do it. And if this is it right here, then this is it. And I'm going to do it my best for you. I'm going to beat this drum like nobody else has ever beat it. And about 2 weeks later, just got a phone call. said, hey, bring your stuff in with you. We're putting you back, bringing you back to the office. You're going to run a loop for us, what's called a loop of platforms out of Cameron. And at that point in time, things started happening, and I started getting put in front of people that needed to be ministered to. And it changed their life, and my gosh, it changed mine. And every time the devil would try to come at me with my failures, which he always does, y'all can attest to that, I'd hammer him back with the accomplishments, the people's lives that I impacted. And that was the new thing for me. I am going to impact this world for Jesus Christ. I don't care where I'm at, what I'm doing. I am going to impact for Him. I'm going to give everything of this life that I have to give. I'm going to give it away to Him. And even every day when I fall and I sin, which I often do, I'm not going to stay in it. I'm going to let it do what it's supposed to do. Bring me back closer to my God and Father at that moment. Because in that moment, because of what Jesus Christ did, I can get forgiveness for anything right then. And I don't let time come in between me and my sin. Because if I do, it affects my impact. My witness is all I have. It's all I have. It is the word of my testimony. It is how I am overcoming with the blood of the Lamb. The word of my testimony and the blood of the Lamb. It didn't say one or the other. It said both. That's how we overcome. And that's the place we got to get to say, I have to protect what's in here. My testimony is inside of me. And everything I do every day is looked at. Why? Because the devil wants my testimony. He wants to take me out in any way he can. So he's going to look at any little part of my testimony and try to whittle it down to nothing. So to get to this point, this place where I could learn how to completely protect myself, protect my testimony, I had to get some wisdom and some knowledge and some understanding. The Bible says that God said, my children suffer for their lack of knowledge. And I realized that when I said, you know what? Any area that I don't have knowledge, what do I have there? Weakness, right? So I want to overcome those weaknesses. I need to get knowledge. So in that, I said there's a few areas. Personal growth and spiritual growth. Well, excuse me. We know spiritual growth right here, God's word. Okay? Right here. You got to get this in you. It's got to get deep in your heart, and it will consume you once it gets there. The key is getting it there and seeing it for what it really is. This is provision. This is it. The same way, the only way that you know that we had George Washington. The only way you know that George Washington did what he did is what? From the history books, right? Okay. So the only way that you know anything about Jesus Christ and what he did for us, it first has to come through that right there. It's got to get in there. You've got to get it in. You got to hear it. Okay? When you read this, I've said this before, when you read this, what does he do? He revelates to you. You're reading it. It's coming in here, right, from reading. But at the same time, he's coming in here. And you're receiving that by faith, all right? They had 12 men. 12 men that walked and talked with him here. 12 men that watched him go through what he went through. He was crucified horribly. They watched it. But the main thing is, they watched him resurrect. Because they saw him. Just a few days later, he was in their midst and in their presence. They were able to see, because he told them, he said, look at my hands and feet. They were able to see it. They were able to touch him. They were able to touch him. When he ascended after that, they gave their lives. They gave all on that right there. And because of that, I can give all. I can give all. My lights can go out right now. I have no fear. No fear. Because I know what's waiting for me on the other side of this life at any moment. Why? Because they lived it in faith in what they saw. How much stronger is mine? I'm living it in faith of what I feel and what I know in my heart. What I got from this word, why? Not just because of what I read, but what he revelated to me. I picked up this book a while back, Knowing God, J.I. Packer. I'm going to read you just a little something here that really changed my perception. That in a preface to Christian theology, John McKay illustrated two kinds of interest in Christian things by picturing persons sitting on the high front balcony of a Spanish house watching travelers go by on the road below. The balconiers can overhear the travelers talk and chat. They can talk and chat with them as well. They may comment critically on the way that the travelers walk, or they may discuss questions about the road. How can it exist at all or lead anywhere? What might be seen different from points along it and so forth? But they are onlookers and their problems are theoretical only. The travelers, by contrast, face problems which, though they have their theoretical angle, are essentially practical. Problems of which way do I go? How do I make it? These type of problems, which call not merely for comprehension, but decisions and actions too. Balconiers and travelers may think over the same area, yet their problems differ. For instance, in relation to evil, the balconier's problem is to find a theoretical explanation of how evil can exist with God's sovereignty and goodness. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, how could there be a God with so much evil going on, so many good people suffering? But the traveler's problem is how to master evil and bring good out of it. How to master evil. It's the same thing God told Cain right before he killed his brother. He told him, he said, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you mad? He said, don't you know that if you do well, it'll be good for you? He said, sin is lying at the door for you, but you must master it. So when you take and master sin and what it's trying to do for you, you gain power over it. And once you get that power over it, all of a sudden that same sin, it starts getting turned and moved and starts working for your good. Why? Because you mastered it. You told it what to do. It didn't master you in those moments. Ignorance of God, ignorance both of his ways and the practice of communion with him, lies at the root of much of the church's weakness today. There is so much ignorance of God and how we are to commune with him. We have to learn this. We have to reach within ourselves and pull out what is in you, that hunger, that desire for more of God. It's there. It's there, and there's stuff piled on top of it. But you can move it. You can get it out. Christians preoccupied with maintaining religious practices in an irreligious world have themselves allowed God to become remote. Clear-sighted persons, seeing this, are tempted to withdraw from the churches in something like disgust, to pursue a quest for God on their own. Nor can one wholly blame them. For churchmen who look at God, so to speak, through the wrong end of the telescope, so reducing him to pygmy proportions, cannot hope to end up as more than pygmy Christians. And clear-sighted people naturally want something better than this. How do you see him today? You see him like this? You see him like this, where there's nothing he can't do for you. Nothing. Even in your worst moments, when you feel like you failed everybody and everything, when you feel like you failed each other. Husbands, when you feel like you failed your wives. Wives, when you feel like you failed your husbands. Sons to their mothers. Fathers. Friends. when you feel like you've failed each other, know that love conquers all of that. Love conquers all of it. God overcomes all of that. And he reaches into the hearts of these others that you feel like you failed and you feel like they're condemning you, and they're not. The love is still there. It's still there. Forgive yourselves. Forgive yourselves. That's what the devil's done. He's made you think that God is small and that your problems are too big and you've done too much. You can never do anything to make him love you any more, any less than he always has or ever will. You have to remember that. The only way that you're going to impact this world the way that you're supposed to, you, every one of you, have a certain thing that you're supposed to do. To impact. It's what you're designed for. Completely and wholeheartedly. Robert Morgan said in his book, Mastering Life, our ability to influence the world is directly proportional to our knack for managing our own lives. Directly proportional. These things here in front of me and behind me, resources. This is how you gain a knack for mastering your life, using these resources. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, how do you do that? How do you possess them in increasing measure? For something to increase, you've got to be adding to it. You've got to be adding to it. All this, whichever area, adding to it. You need more patience. You need more love. You need more self-control. Whatever it is, look and find the resource. We have no excuses these days. No excuses. And I'm not being condemning. I'm being honest. I tell myself all the time, no, you have no excuse not to open these books. You have no excuse not to order this one that you heard about. It wasn't happenstance that you heard about this one. Get it. Open it. Read it. Start sowing into yourself. Building upon yourself. Your foundation is Jesus. You already got the foundation. You're sitting here right now. Start building on it. Start building. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. There's your impact right there. Increasing measure of goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. If you do that, you will be impactful. That's 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. If anybody wants 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. Get that in you. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. That was Thomas Carlyle. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. We have to make sure we pay attention where we are at every moment. And why? Because it's in those moments with what's close around you is what you were designed for, those moments. If you miss out on those moments, you're going to miss out on opportunities that you can sow into people's lives, that you can impact people's lives for the kingdom of God. And you know what that brings? It brings heavenly reward. It brings reward. I do not want to just make it to heaven. I want to go there. The more reward I have, the more I get to lay at his feet. I'm not worthy of anything. I give my best my best, and without him, it's still filthy rags. But in him, nothing compares to the beat of my drum. Nothing compares to the beat of the drum of every one of you when you live and walk this life in him. In those moments, you were changing lives. You were making things happen. Life is just a minute. Just a minute. Life is just a minute. Only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon you, you can't refuse it. Didn't seek it. Didn't choose it. But it's up to you to use it. Give an account if you abuse it. Just a tiny little minute. But eternity is in it. Eternity is in it. Billy Graham. I like this. He was asked, "What is the greatest surprise you have found about life?" A university student asked him several years ago. He said, "The brevity of it." The student replied without hesitation, or he replied without hesitation, "Time moves so quickly, and no matter who we are or what we have done, the time will come when our lives will be over. As Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work." Listen. You are in your day right now. Okay? As believers, our day ends at 12 noon. Our day ends at its brightest point as believers. Because when we transform from this to glory, we are in true light. True light. The key is, these people that you're around, that you're impacting day in and day out, theirs is 12 midnight. You got to get them from 12 midnight to 12 noon. You have to. You have to. Why? That's our purpose. It is our purpose. His desire is not one should perish. Not one. If we're here to bring glory to him with our lives, how do you think that's supposed to be? How do we bring glory to him? How? By fulfilling the commission that he's given us. By entering into this ministry of reconciliation. You have to enter into this ministry. It's what we're called to do. The problem is, we don't think we're effective enough. Anytime you come in contact with any human being at any moment, you have a chance to be effective. I don't care who you are, what your physical limitations are, what you think your mental limitations are, anything that you think that has kept you down, no, you have full purpose in just how you are. He created you exactly how he wanted you to be. And why? Because he has moments in time that only you can be effective for what he's called out. Only you. No one else is supposed to come take your place in these moments. It's for you. And the devil is so crafty in fooling us into believing that we can't do it. That we can't take that moment with this other person and turn it into a moment that changes their life forever. We have to start doing the right things with our time. You got to notice the time. Look at the time. Be conscious of it. Count your days. Make your days count. I'm going to read you a little note that somebody wrote a long time ago about time. It says, "I wish, sir, you would give me some instructions with regard to my time and advise me how to proportion my studies and my play in writing. And I will keep them by me and endeavor to follow them. I am, dear sir, with a present determination of growing better." That was John Quincy Adams. He was 10 years old. He wrote that in a letter to his father, John Adams. 10 years old. What do I do with my time, Daddy? So I'm asking my daddy all the time. Daddy, please tell me what to do with my time. Please. Please. And y'all, I know it's a struggle. I know it is. I know this life is busy. I understand what's coming at you all the time. Because I'm just like you. I'm human. I got it flying at me from all directions all the time. And most of you that know me know I'm going 90 to nothing all the time. The thing is, we have to ask him. I got to ask him, Daddy, what do I do today? Where do you want me to go today? Who do you want me to talk to today? You know, and in those simple moments, when you think it's just lanyap time, nothing's ever lanyap time. Nothing. Let me tell you something, what you can do with your time. How effective you can be with your time. James Brainerd Taylor, he is known as the Uncommon Christian. He wrote a book. It was a long time ago. He said, James Brainerd Taylor met a traveler at a watering trough one day. And during the 5 minutes their horses were drinking, he so preached Jesus to the stranger that he was saved and afterwards became a missionary to Africa. They met no more, and the stranger was ever wondering who the angel of mercy was that pointed him to Jesus. One day in Africa, he received a box of books, and on opening a small volume of memoirs, he saw the picture of the saintly and sainted young man who was about his father's business and redeemed the time at the watering trough by preaching Jesus and saving a soul instead of idly gossiping about the weather. Wow. Wow. It's moments like these that I'm telling you, I've been taking advantage of them. And it's changing my life. Because people are hurt. They're hurting. And they need us. They need us. I mean, even when we're tired and we think that our excuses are good enough for why we don't take that moment. They're not good enough. They're not good enough. And I don't, you know, I don't want to ever have to answer to him to say, I put you in that place. I had you there because I needed you to reach this person. Why? Why didn't you do it? I was in your heart. I've been in your heart since you was a child. Why didn't you share me? I just needed you to share me in that moment. So I'm playing that to myself. I'm playing it to myself. I want to answer for it now. I want to finish it. I'm playing my drum and he's smiling at me. When I answer that call at the water cooler, at the heliport, or wherever I'm at, when I answer that call, he's smiling and I can feel it. I can feel it. Just as bright as the sun, I can feel it on me. And now that I've tasted that, I'm all in. I'm all in. Because it's all about impact. The Lord told me that I was going to write a book. He told me a long time ago. And I thought it was going to be this or that. Excuse me. And the more I got to thinking and taking, writing little notes and kind of filing them away, time went on, you know. It kind of died a little bit, you know. And then something happened. I started listening to Joel Osteen. And that message that he put out about how one touch of God's favor could catapult you into a realm you never knew existed. When he told me, when I heard him say, You know, that book is in you. You got to write it. That book is in you, ready to come out. And a little while after that, this book that I've been carrying around for a while, Circle Maker, Mark Batterson, I'm reading it. And I get to this section called Qualified versus Called. A big dream is simultaneously the best feeling and worst feeling in the world. It's exhilarating because it's beyond your ability. It's frightening for the same exact reason. So if you're going to dream big, you have to manage the emotional tension. Facing your fears is the beginning of the battle. Then you have to circle them over and over again. Have you ever felt like your dream was too big for you? Anybody here had a dream? Joel, I bet you did, huh? I bet you did. I have many, many times. Moses felt that way more than once when God called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He felt like it was too big. He felt like he wasn't qualified. So he asked God to send somebody else to do it, and that's par for the course. It's usually what we do. In my experience, get this, you'll never feel qualified. But God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. If he calls you to do it, he's qualified you for it. Period. End of story, right there. You're qualified. He called you to it, you're qualified. The issue is never, are you qualified? The issue is always, are you called? And that's what you have to do. You have to answer that question for what you're dreaming about. Are you called? That's the main question. I was called to write this book. I was called to impact people. And I just got a couple minutes. Y'all bear with me. So a few weeks ago, well, actually going back several months ago, I knew what it was, impact. I went and did a funeral. And I keep this in my devotional book. Larry Woolley, Enoch Larry Woolley, went to his funeral. Good friend of mine, Tom Doyle, is his father-in-law, and he asked me if I would go do his funeral. Well, at first I was going to do the whole funeral, then things changed. They got a hold of the older pastor that had pastored him for years, and he was going to go ahead and come. So then they asked me, they said, well, we still want you to do the gravesite. Well, I had a word. And I mean, I had a word, and I knew that God had given it to me. That day. And lo and behold, while the service was going on, it started raining. Which meant the gravesite ceremony would have to be done inside. But they didn't dismiss the people for it. They kept the whole place in there. And all of a sudden, I knew it was coming. So I sat there and I listened to this older pastor give this message. And in it, he said, this was for me. He said that through the Holy Spirit and the anointing that he's going to put on your life, you're going to be in the right place at the right time to say the right thing to the right person. But he said it even more. He said you're going to be in the exact right place at the exact right time to say the exact right thing to the exact right person. And then I realized it. It wasn't about me being in the right place at the right time to receive. It's about me always being in the right place at the right time to minister and give, give, give. That's what it's about. Always about what you're going to give, not what you're going to receive. The encounter, every meeting that you have is always about what you're going to bring to the table, not what you're going to walk away with. So you always got to make sure you got something to bring to the table. That's the key. Mainly this right here. In that day, I knew what it was. I knew what impact was. It's what I'm going to do. It's what I'm going to bring to the table each and every time I encounter someone new when God opens that door. That's going to be my impact. But I cannot let my failures keep me from moving forward. I have to use my failures as a catapult to launch me forward. That's the key. Because if we put our failures on top of us, we can't move forward. But if we stack them under us, what we got then? You stack them under you. You ain't ever going to fall back. You got your failures holding you up behind. I done did that. That's behind me. I'm good. I'm strong. So, this is what my book is about, Impact. I'm fixing to give you an acronym, and then I'm going to close out. But I want you to get this. All right. Imparting the manifestation of powerful anointing, complete transformation. That's impact. Let me break it down for you. Imparting. Act of communicating. We're conveying, we're transmitting, we're relaying, relating, recounting, announcing, proclaiming. That is impartation and imparting. Impartation, what happens to us? What's the Holy Spirit do? Imparts. That's right. What are we imparting? Our testimony. It's in those moments when you meet these people that your testimony of the goodness of God is going to have the most effect. Right there. And why? Because God puts you in the exact right place at the exact right time to say the exact right thing to the exact right person and communicate your testimony to them. Your testimony is not for you. It's for others. Okay? Manifestation. That is an event, action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something, especially a theory or an abstract idea. There are things you cannot touch, but you can feel them. Right? Manifestation. What happens? What happens? You ever talk to somebody and you're sharing your witness and they say, man, I got the chills. It happens to me a lot. It's like, man, and I know what it is. And I just want to get it, you know? I want to lay them hands on there. You got to be careful. You might scare them off, right? Right thing in the right moment. So, things that you cannot touch but you can feel. Abstract. And that's what we're dealing with. We got to show people, I know you can't touch him. I know you can't touch him. You can't touch him. But if you'll just open up, he's going to come in you and you're going to feel him. You'll feel him. And that's more than a touch. It's more than a touch. Why? Because it's transferable. That's why it flows through you. It's powerful. So powerful is strong and mighty. It's not of this world. Okay, this power is not of this world. It's the power that brings dead people to life. It's the power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's inside of your testimony. It's in you. It's in you. He is in you. That power is a He, the Holy Spirit. And He's got you. He's got you. So open up. He's got you consumed. All right, inside and out. He says, if you just open up and release yourself to me and let me have control in these moments, I do all the work. You ain't gonna do nothing. I'll say all the words. I'll do everything. All you got to do is submit. And you know, in looking up the word powerful, there was a definition for it. It was funny. I'd never seen this before. It just said very. Very. That water in that baptismal was powerfully cold, wasn't it? Powerfully cold. You know? My pastor preaches a powerful good message. Powerful. Very. You can put it in there every time. Very. In Luke 24 and 49, Jesus said that you would be clothed with power from on high. Man, it was so powerful. The apostles, they gave their lives for what they believed. But more so, they gave their lives for who they believed in. Who they believed in. We're too focused sometimes on what we believe. We need to be more focused on who we believe in. I'm trying to hurry, y'all. Bear with me for a minute. So, do you want religion or do you want relationship? You want relationship. Because power comes through the relationship. That's where it comes from. So A was for anointing. The anointing is symbolic of blessing, protection, and empowerment. Bring every thought captive, okay? The practice of the shepherds, they would pour the oil over the sheep's head to prevent the insects and the lice from getting into their ears. Because once they can get in there, they could actually kill them. So it made the wool real slippery, and the insects could they just slide right off. So the anointing, well, that's our empowerment. Because when we operate under the anointing, going back to bringing every thought captive, when you pour the anointing on you, when he anoints you, guess what? When these thoughts come to you, slide right off. They're brought to no effect. You bring them captive because you stay under the anointing. But to stay under the anointing, you got to stay under the word. You got to stay in the word. C, complete. Okay, this means it's inward and outward. You begin to think, act, walk, and talk as Jesus. He gets in you. And when he gets in you, he moves through you. Right? Everything changes about you at that moment. Everything. Everything. You quit focusing on how many times you failed. And you put them behind you. And all you stay focused on is staying up. Get back up. Get back up. Like riding a bike, right? Get back up. Get back up. Never give up. Never quit. Never surrender. Get back up. Get knocked down. Get back up. And you do that until you're transformed to him in glory. That's what we do. That's what we do. That transformation is complete, complete. So much so, he finished all that work for us a long time ago. It's already been finished. It's completed. He did it. He started it and he finished it. When he was 12 years old in the temple, they found him. They said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I must be about my father's business." Okay? Then, 21 years later, the same exact place, the same exact time, he did what? Completed the Father's business. Completed it. And once he did that, he proclaimed it. And we just need to enter into it each and every day. Completeness. It's been proclaimed. Enter into this completeness. Transformation. It's thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. Now this is the bomb right here. This is the bomb that's going to go off. If you'll get it in and see it, you'll know. You'll see what you're doing to these other people right here when you share your testimony and you have impact. It's a change. Transformation is a change, alteration, a mutation, a conversion, or a metamorphosis. Now this is my favorite right here. The induced or spontaneous change of one element into another by a nuclear process. Check this out. So in a nucleus of an atom, the nucleus of an atom, that's the very center, okay? So my heart is the nucleus of an atom, an ADAM, not ATOM. My heart is the nucleus of this atom right here. It collides with subatomic particles from outside of the atom. So what happens is, you got these subatomic particles that are floating around, all right? Where do they come from? They come from us. People are out there exposing their hearts to you, waiting for you to pierce it and penetrate it with one of these subatomic particles. When you share your witness to them, that's what happens. It gets in there, okay? So once it gets in, then what happens is a nuclear reaction. It's an explosion. You may not see it, all right? You set it to flight. You put it in there. And then all of a sudden, man, it's such an explosion that it overtakes every essence of their being. And so much so, it's almost like cancer. There's free radicals flowing all through their bodies, all through their minds, all through their spirits, all through their souls. That explosion takes over. And that transformation takes place in that moment. there's something in me that's got to come out at that time. I knew it when it happened to me. It's like, man, this explosion that occurred in me when he took over, if I try to contain it, it makes me sick. It breaks me down. And I mean, it pulls me down. It makes me feel like I want to crawl under a rock and hide. And why? Because in those moments, I'm quenching what the Holy Spirit has done. He's come into me to work through me. He's in each one of you to work through you, to impact the lives of other people, day in and day out, moment in and moment out. And I need you to get this. I need you to allow yourself to place these subatomic particles into the lives of other people. Don't be scared, please. Say that word. Say that kind word when the moment happens. Just like that brother said, love does. That's what love does. Love sets off that explosion. Love is what changes them and opens their heart to receive what you have. We don't have to beat them down. We just have to love them. And that's how we impact them. And that's how we change their lives forever. Everybody stand with me, please.